to Flashpoint. I'm filling in for Gene Bailey, our esteemed colleague, who no doubt will be joining us at some point from an undisclosed location. And I had heard that he might be embedding himself with Russian troops on the Ukrainian border, but we'll find out ourselves later exactly where Gene Bailey is. You would have to be actually not paying attention to anything this week to know that something historic is taking place. We have the exciting development of the Durham probe, which means that after all this period of time that we have been waiting for something to happen, we've even joked about the glacier pace at which an investigation is taking place, we actually now have the beginning salvo coming. And oh boy, it's a lot bigger than anyone thinks. And we have to talk about it because the silence of the media on almost every channel tells you this must be an explosive story. It reveals the fact that a spying initiative had been created by the Clinton campaign in order to not only hack into the Trump Towers, but actually to embed evidence and create a fake narrative, perhaps with the collusion of the intelligence services working with media. If we have ever been justified in Flashpoint having a prophetic argument that God is using the Trump presidency and all things taking place, even in the contradiction of the election, in order to expose the corruption that is happening, that exposure is taking place right now. So let's take a look at the news summary that perhaps will give you the best perspective on what you might have missed. Mr. Producer, go ahead and play the video clip.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place.
A new report from special counsel John Durham. Clinton campaign lawyers paid a tech company to infiltrate Trump servers to fabricate a connection between Trump and Russia.
Hillary Clinton broke the law to frame Trump as a Russian traitor.
This is truly unprecedented, truly something that has never happened in the history of our great country.
This is a digital insurrection.
Turns out the Trump-Russian collusion story was just a deflection from the Hillary-Russian collusion story.
Trump was right. Trump was telling the truth.
It was you, Hillary Clinton,
who undermined our democracy.
There are people that should go to jail.
Wow, wow, wow. So I'll tell you what we'll do now. Let's bring our panelists up. You're familiar with them. They are going to be Hank Kuhneman. Thank you, Hank, for joining us here. Mario Murillo, who is fresh on the trail of his revival campaigns going on around the country. We have David Harris Jr., a dear friend and provocateur. And lo and behold, we have somehow found Gene Bailey, who is, surprise, surprise, actually not embedded with the Russian troops. And he is going to be joining us in a reverse of roles, I might add, something I've been looking forward to with great joy, where I get to host and Gene gets to experience what it's like to be me on one of his shows. So starting with this, I'm going to show you the tweet that perhaps summarizes the lie. And gentlemen, I'm curious about your thinking. Let's get that Slate tweet. Now, if you look at this, gentlemen, what you have is the evidence of what Hillary's campaign did to Donald Trump that, by the way, led to the midterm loss, that led to two impeachment efforts, all fueled by the narrative that he was colluding with Russia, and they knew it was a lie. So you see the statements that she has there, four things you need to know about the Trump Organization, a secret server to communicate with Russian Alpha Bank. All of this was a created narrative. And here, poor Donald Trump, all he could do was say fake news, fake news, fake news. And at some point, the late-night comedians are going to have to do an apology tour because they use these headlines in order to skewer Donald Trump every night like a clown trying to cover up his culpability. So let's go around the table here tonight, and in the natural order in which I introduce you, I'm curious about your commentary. Hank, what are your thoughts as you see this?
Thank you, Lance. It's great to be with you and also with this Russian guy. Victor something. Anyway.
Victor Bailey.
You can't see. Okay, well, Gene Bailey. But anyway, here's the thing. Getting back to the real thing, Hillary Clinton needs to be held accountable. And the reason being is what she has done is nothing more than Hillary's revenge because she didn't win in 2016. All the money that she paid to try to steal that election, she had to come up with some kind of plan to make it look like that Donald Trump had this big hoax. But here's what I'm going to say, my last comment on this. The greats are happening. God said there would be great exposures that would begin to take place, great unravelings, and we're seeing this with Hillary Clinton, and it's only going to continue to build. Because if we've learned anything, like you said, Lance, with this election with Donald Trump, is we're watching corrupt politicians being exposed, big tech being exposed, teachers' unions being exposed, the media being exposed, and the list continues to go on and on and on, and it's just going to continue to unravel, and they're going to have to lay in the bed that they made.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be an experience for all of us who have been prophetically lampooned ourselves because we kept saying there will be an exposure, there will be, as you said, the flop that will flip things around. And now,
yes.
Mario, what's your perspective on this update?
It's going to be an open door for the gospel that's truly amazing because we who are conservatives have been called conspiracy theorists. And so they said, well, if you're lying about this and you're lying about this other, you must also be lying about the teachings of Christ. And let me tell you something, it's all going to fall into place. And it's very interesting when Paul was on the island of Melita, the viper latched onto his arm. Everybody looked at him and said, that guy must be a murderer. And then he shook it off into the fire. You know, what we're facing, and I'll make this real quick, I just really burning in me, Moses and the people of God must have had fatigue at how many miracles it took to finally get Pharaoh to let them go. We've been through so much fatigue, the false election, the Russia collusion, all of the double standards, the lies, seemingly nothing would stick, nothing would really work. And now it's like it's all coming at them from all directions. I believe even the truckers are a very important sign of a major shift in the narrative because there's no winning that. Trudeau is not going to win that optic. He looks horrible. Now, we're watching this with Hillary. We're watching it on several fronts with mail-in ballots and discovery. We got a movie coming out, 2,000 Mules. It's almost like all at once there's going to be an avalanche that says they were the ones who were lying, not the Christians. And our tent is up. We have thousands of people coming. I know that it looks like you can't talk about this, but it is a very powerful narrative. The conspiracy theories have been proven right, and the preachers and the prophets were telling the truth all along.
Yeah, you got that right. Do we have that cartoon? Because I'm always looking at the arts community to see if they could capture. Now, look at what you've got here is a real statement, gentlemen. It's a picture of the Durham report coming out and ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I think this is going to be an unavoidable scandal. David Harris, you are a voice that is unafraid to say what other people are thinking. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just thankful that it's finally coming out. I mean, we've been waiting for so long for Durham to come out with his report. We've been listening to the mainstream media continue to slam Donald Trump and paint every one of his Trump supporters a racist, misogynist, homophobic bigot. No matter what color you are, you seem to be a white nationalist that hates that supports Nazism and the support that would have supported Hitler because you supported Trump. So I love what Mario said. The body of Christ, I think, and people, Americans, have been fatigued, that have been holding on and believing that all this was for something. And one of my favorite promises in the Bible that I hold on to and hang my hat on, especially when things are difficult, is that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called. And I know that God has called this nation. He's called all of us in this nation that identify as believers, that love him and that reach out to him. And I know for certain that he is going to, and he is, going to cause all the negative things that the enemy has meant for evil and harm and destruction of our country, of our families, of our friends. It's all going to flip on its head. And I believe that what he's come out with so far is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the beginning. I think that more is going to continue to come out. And I think that thank God for Flashpoint and Victory News for not being afraid to share the truth and to talk about what's going on while the rest of the liberal mainstream media doesn't want to hear it. And I'm thankful for social media because I put things out on my social media like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And while I'm pretty much throttled on everywhere except for Instagram right now, thank you, Lord, millions of people see the posts and the videos that I put out there. And it's bypassing, it's usurping the liberal mainstream media news. So the people, the Americans out there with good hearts, the centrist Democrats, the independents, the ones that have been listening to this narrative from the mainstream media and the lies of Democrats for their, especially the heightened last several years, they're going to wake up. And those are the ones that we should be praying for, especially our family, our friends. We should be reaching out to them, asking them in a very polite way, in a nice way, have you heard what's coming out? Do you hear the truth of what's happening? The mainstream media is not reporting on this, but I think Americans need to know. I want to make sure that you know, and then share an episode like this. And share the truth with them, and then
share
pray
this.
That they actually wake up.
And if you're looking at this thing on Facebook or on one of those other channels, then like, share, and subscribe. You can actually share this with other people. And in fact, Gene, I'm very interested in your thoughts rounding this subject off and transitioning. And the question that I think is on our minds for you is, why did Joe Biden approve the Putin gas pipeline with Germany, knowing that he was going to be a problem later on with the Ukraine? See, that's what you do to me. You change the subject on me when you're ready to say something. I just wanted to experience. Now, I'm curious.
I know. I noticed you saved me for last. I saw that. I knew it was coming.
Now, Gene, honestly, you and the media get to sit there and you see, you've been watching CNN go through, it's like an incendiary self-destruction. We're watching this Durham report be denied. From a media perspective, what do you think we ought to be doing right now with this incendiary moment? Because we do have the Dinesh D'Souza breaking story. You did a great job on bringing out earlier this week. We have the scandal now with the Durham report, and it doesn't stop there because we've actually got what's going on with Ukraine, the fake story with Russia. We're going to talk about that later. What are your thoughts as a revivalist and newsman?
Yeah, well, let me say this, and I'm going to quote our founder here on the Victory Channel, Kenneth Copeland. When there's stuff happening and it's a frenzy, this is when you go into low slow. If you're a pilot, you understand low slow means you got your flaps out, you got your throttle back, you're coming in very slow, coming in for landing. We have to go low slow. So what that means is for us as conservative Christians is, yes, we celebrate things are starting to come out, and that comedian John Durham and what he's bringing out, I'm so happy that he's I think I actually saw him smile once. So Durham's report, yes, we're thankful things are coming out. But this is where we have a responsibility as conservatives, as Judeo-Christian-based believing people, as Word of Faith people, whichever side of the aisle you land on, we have to be very careful how we proceed. We have to be very aware. We've been saying for months now, the dominoes are going to fall. When that first one falls, hang on because they're all going to go. Well, that's what we're living. It's like every day you wake up, there's a news story, and you guys send me emails. Well, you should have covered this. You should have covered that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we got so many stories here. It's amazing. It's a windfall of stories. So what we have to do is stay in prayer. Understand what Mario said is very true. This is the Great Awakening. What you're seeing happening in our nation, America, affects the world, but it affects the world for Christ. And that's why we're here. That's why Flashpoint is here. And that's why we have to go slow with this. We need to be very aware. Let's watch what Hillary does. Let's watch what Michael Sussman and the new star, Roland Joffe, you know, how he's presenting everything here. We have to take this very slowly. So be careful, those of you watching, what you share on social media, because there's a lot of misinformation
out there. So we have to go slow, we have to go methodical, and we've got to be aware of what we're talking about. Well, because above all the news story, there's the spiritual plane. There's a spiritual plane we've got to operate on. And as believers, and those of you that are pastors and leaders and ministries, that's where you've got to operate on. Don't get caught in the fray of all the flurry of activity. We've got to go low, slow, and start to see what God's doing, because it is all revealing. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be on Flashpoint. It's a great time to be here. Glad you guys are watching. This is why it's so important to share this medium, to share this program, because there is so much misinformation. Lance, this is why we're here. This is the whole reason for this time and this season right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I was watching last night, you know, Tim Fenton of Judicial Watch. He was doing an interview with Bannon, and it was a very sobering interview, because his point was, don't expect there to be really great prosecution come out of this trial with Durham unless there is, like, God's intervention, because the Republican leadership that has been in Washington never wants to really probe what's there. Democrats will put up a Mueller report. The McConnell and McCarthy, they tend to want to move on to business as usual rather than going where it's got to go. So we have to be vigilant, and all of us have to be engaged, or we've got to pound those arrows like the prophet told the king. Yes. Not three times, but six, seven times. Isn't that right, Hank?
Yes, and in fact, I want to follow up with what Gene brilliantly said and what you just mentioned, Lance, very prophetic. The Lord gave a prophetic word on Sunday. In fact, it was right in the middle of my preaching, and he was talking about Acts chapter 12. And if we remember what happened in Acts 12, they killed James the apostle. They then arrested Peter. They threw him in jail. And there was a moment where Peter is now between two soldiers. So he's yoked. His destiny is life. Is yoked between two soldiers. And the Bible says, and this is what we need to be doing right now, we need to increase our prayer assault, because the Bible said that in Acts 12, the church gathered, they prayed, they lifted up their voice, and their nonstop hitting of prayer caused something to happen. Those two chains of those soldiers broke. God sent an angel, and everything began to shift by a divine disruption and intervention of God. And this is where we're heading. It's not just enough for the Durham report to come out. We need divine interruption and intervention of God, and it's going to come with another level of prayer. Now, the last thing on that, I believe that the two soldiers represent the 2020 election on one side, and these mandates and all of this injustice and corruption that's been happening on the other. We will lift up and take a greater prayer assault, like you said, with the striking of the arrow. We are going to see something out of heaven that is going to be a heavenly assault that's going to just turn this thing upside down, right side up. It's going to be powerful.
Gene Bailey, what is your response to that?
Well, actually, Hank stole my next line, which I was wanting to say, listen, there's about 75,000 of you on the Flashpoint prayer email list. And the reason I said prayer email list, because this is the time to engage. You're a believer in Christ, and you want to see some things happen. Listen, we can't take our foot off the gas here when it comes to this. Pastors, I'm asking you, if you're on that email list, you're getting emails that have prayer points at the end of every email, prayer points for us to engage in. We have to come in unity. You may not agree with everything that I say or Hank says or Lance says. Forget all that. We're on the same team, and let's come into agreement. But listen, we have got to take this matter seriously of prayer for our nation and prayer for things to be exposed that need to be on both sides of the aisle. And I know David Harris Jr. agrees with me on that. You know, we have got to be able to see what we're looking at, know what we're looking at, and pray for God's timing and all this, because, listen, the very balance of this nation is in the weights.
Yeah, man, we are hanging there. And Dave, I do want to come to you, because, but guys, here's where we got to go. We have limited time and so much to want to burn through. I want to talk about what's going on with Ukraine. I want to talk about applying our prophetic acumen to seeing what's happening geopolitically and how Washington is working that subject for some reason, I think, to distract Americans from the screwed-up administration of Biden. And I still want to know, why are we worried about a border with Russia when we've got an open border with Mexico? But that's not my job, because I'm hosting tonight. I'm not allowed to do that. I want to go to you, David Harris, and I want you to just think about something. Just weave this into your commentary. They're persecuting pastors in Canada. What happens in Canada is a preview of what could be coming to the United States. Our friend Arthur Pawlowski, who's been on this show, has been deprived bail. And meanwhile, the guy was a BLM, a virtual assassin, who just tried to shoot a Democratic mayor. He's out on bail within 24 hours. But Canada is locking up our pastor friend up until March, when he has a hearing. David Harris, give us a perspective on what we need to be thinking about moving into this next season of vigilance and warfare.
Well, I saw that and posted and shared that when Pastor Arthur got arrested, and it's an absolute shame. The other shame of his arrest is that he's one of the only individuals in Canada that I've heard of, pastors, that were bold enough to take a stance to say, I'm not going to shut down my church. You're not going to stop me from preaching the gospel. And I'm going to continue to be here for my flock, for the people, to allow them a place to gather together and hear the word of God. He's one of the only ones. He's one of the few that stood up in Canada. I was thinking about this. The fact that so few pastors in Canada and even in America have stood up against these unconstitutional mandates is a very sad and tragic state. It's a tragic state and example of the state of the church in our country and in Canada. And so who did God send in Canada? He sent a bunch of truckers. He sent a bunch of truckers that said, you know what? You're not going to take this country on our watch. We're more powerful than you. We're more powerful than the government. Wouldn't it have been amazing to see every pastor in Canada do that, stand up for their rights like that, stand up for Canada like that? And hopefully we'll see that happen here in our country as well. I hear that there's a trucker convoy that may be starting here in the United States. So we'll see. But it's a shame what they've done with Pastor Arthur, but it's an example, I think, of his boldness and that boldness. He's being martyred with his time away from his family and thrown in jail. And that boldness, I think, is going to light a fire in the hearts of pastors that say, you know what? I'm tired of being lackadaisical. I'm tired of just sitting on the sideline. I'm going to get up. I'm going to make my voice heard. And I'm going to be bold enough to even get arrested, if that's what it means, to preach the gospel.
And let's remember, this pastor is from Poland. He remembers communism. I mean, the number of foreigner people that come from other countries that talk to us, that travel around, they're in ministry, warning us about what's coming to America, what's in America. This cancel culture sounds exactly like what they were experiencing in the home countries that they were in, that they were fleeing from to come here. And I think Trudeau is losing the battle. I see this as, again, evidence of God's move in North America, because it's Canada and the United States now both experiencing a shaking, like a spiritual awakening. The honkers are honking. That was the Bob Jones prophecy. I think the eagles are stirring. The truckers in Israel, Australia, all around the world, in a sense, are mobilizing. It's as though there's a movement of the working class against the managerial elite, who are masking themselves as though they were socialists for the people. They're being revealed as really potential dictators for the elites. But can we play a clip, Mr. Producer, here, of what's happening with Trudeau? Because I think the grenade is exploding. Let's go with the – I don't know if you guys caught this last night. He made a big mistake. He picked on the one Jewish delegate they have in Parliament – and liken her to a Nazi supporter, trying to label the hardworking American, Canadian truckers as though they are Nazis. This is what the left does, and it produces contempt, and I predict a backlash from people like Bill Maher and the Rogans and the John Stewarts and others. Let's play that clip now and see what happened.
Optimistic, hopeful vision for public life isn't a naive dream. It could be a powerful force for change. If Canadians are to trust their government needs to trust Canadians. Those are the words of the Prime Minister in 2015. these people, very often misogynistic, racist, women haters, science deniers, the fringe. Same prime minister 6 years later as he fans the flames of an unjustified national emergency. So, Mr. Speaker, when did the prime minister lose his way? When did it happen?
You're right, honorable prime minister. Mr. Speaker, Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, who be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker,
I just want to remind the honourable members, including the honourable right honourable Prime Minister, to use words that are not inflammatory in the House, and that's for both sides. The honourable member for Thornhill.
Our ever-vigilant Flashpoint team did a little more digging, because I said, I know that that was a blunder that was made there. The apology has to come forth. Trudeau wouldn't give it. But what a political miscalculation. Watch how it's playing right now in Canada.
So, Mr. Speaker, when did the Prime Minister lose his way? When did it happen?
You're right, Honourable Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag.
There are members of this Conservative caucus who are the descendants of victims of the Holocaust. For the Prime Minister to accuse any colleague in this House of standing with the swastika is shameful. I'm giving the Prime Minister an opportunity. I'm calling on him to unreservedly apologize for this shameful remark.
Canadians deserve their freedoms back.
The lack of an apology from that Prime Minister speaks volumes. I'm giving the Prime Minister one more chance. Will he apologize?
Even as the members of the Conservative Party are calling to us to take more action over the past 2 weeks on this.
I have given him two chances to apologize. He has refused to apologize. Mr. Prime Minister, apologize.
Mr. Speaker, I am a strong Jewish woman and a member of this House and a descendant of Holocaust survivors, and I have never made to, it's never been singled out, and I have never been made to feel less, except for today when the Prime Minister accused me of standing with swastikas. I think he owes me an apology. I'd like an apology, and I think he owes an apology to all members of this House.
It is for the Prime Minister to come back and retract his words. The Prime Minister is very good at apologizing for acts that took place before he was born by people he wasn't involved in. It's time for him to take responsibility for his own words and apologize for what he said.
So you could really feel, oh my gosh, one thing about the parliament system, whether it's in Britain or in Canada, we don't have that in the United States. That you can, it's almost like a soccer match. I mean, you hear the energy there, which you don't normally expect to hear from the Canadians. But Mario, you were watching Professor Hansen liken this moment. Now, what was your observation on Victor Hansen's data?
Well, what Victor Hansen said, first of all, he called Trudeau Pajama Boy, which I thought was amazing. And then he said, this is his Tiananmen Square, when China and the young man that was standing in front of the tank. And he said it's an optic, and that's really bad, and Trudeau's going to lose. Well, I didn't think he could go any lower than he did just now by telling someone with Jewish background, with relatives that were in the Holocaust, that they stood with swastikas. And I'm going to tell you, I think everyone watching needs to realize something very, very important. Flashpoint has been raised up for God for a specific moment, a specific message, and to fill a gap that was very clearly evident by the hundreds of thousands who are now watching. We can't squander that opportunity. And I'm going to make this observation about China and Tiananmen Square and the optic that we're watching in Canada. This is now a single movement between Canada and the United States. They have just crossed the border, and the truckers in Canada have developed, you know, we talked about the prophecy of the honking and then the eagles. Well, that's exactly right. They're eagles that are going to back up these truckers now. They have made a friend. And Trudeau has invited disaster on his own reputation and career, whatever was left of it. But it is going to end in a moral awakening. See, in California, people are miserable. That's why when we preach the gospel there, as we will begin our crusade this weekend, and our tent is up in Hanford right now, we've never seen openness like this. We've never seen people more completely ready to just go forward and receive Christ. So these two things are working in tandem. The house of cards is collapsing. The narrative is dying. And God is about to raise up a powerful witness in both Canada and the United States. There's an amazing, amazing moment that we're living in. And I believe Flashpoint is bridging the gap between those two streams. That's what's so amazing, is that we are watching people tuning into Flashpoint because they believe in what we're saying about Donald Trump, and then they're finding Christ, and they're realizing the word of faith and the power of God. This is an amazing phenomenon right now.
It's an amazing phenomenon and an amazing moment. And you know, all of us are involved with the business of communication. Wilberforce said that the secret to overturning slavery and transforming the UK was a sustained pattern of public persuasion. And nobody's more important to that than media, and there's nothing more shocking than the absence of real good journalism. But you can see with the ratings of Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham that hunger is there in America. The next segment, when we come back from our break, is going to involve Laura Logan, who is probably one of the sharpest, most courageous journalists that we've met in our lifetime. And I'm going to be asking her some questions. I want you guys to be thinking of questions, because she's willing to take us into the real tissue of what goes on in the corrupt power structure of government, intelligence services, and media. Nobody knows the story better than her. We look forward to hearing from Laura Logan when we get back from this break.
February 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, following Flashpoint. America Stands, election coverage in the spirit of faith.
I'd like to introduce our Flashpoint audience to Laura Logan. Watch this.
There is nothing left. Any direction you walk, all you find is more destruction.
Thousands of angry Somalis and heavily armed gunmen were locked in an intense battle with the Americans.
We were caught in an ambush with his troops along the frontier.
Get in.
So it was a policy of total annihilation.
You think they will attack you before you attack them?
How many shipwrecks do you think are down there?
You've been described as the greatest American rock band. Is that how you feel?
Are you among the last people on Earth to speak this language?
And if you look at the U.S., what are you most worried about here?
The winner of the Gracie Award, the David Kaplan Award, the David Bloom Award, the Daniel Peel Award. I guess you got the idea. She's an accomplished journalist. Thank you, Laura Logan, for joining Flashpoint. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So I was especially interested in introducing you to our audience when I watched an interview with you and Tucker Carlson. And this was probably the Fox Nation app. And I very seldom see Tucker actually, who is himself so brilliant, admitting that he's getting educated live on the air. And it was when you were talking about Afghanistan and you were talking about the role of Pakistan in Afghanistan, about the intelligence agencies, the funding in Pakistan, and the influence of the CIA in shaping headlines and narratives. I mean, you could see not only him, but the rest of us, the smoke is coming out of our ears with what the Durham investigation is producing. I think we all need an update on how these intelligence agencies actually are shaping news cycles, and they're not doing what you think they are. Could you just give us some insight on that subject itself?
You know, a very wise man once told me that it's okay to be disillusioned because it means that what you were believing in was an illusion. And once you recognize that, you have the ability to begin correcting it because none of us want to be living under an illusion, right? And that's what you're really talking about. When it comes to the intelligence agencies and the Department of Justice, the FBI, the media, you know, Americans rightly had an expectation that their leaders, you know, sure, they might cheat here and there, maybe lie here and there, but by and large, they would be honest. And the same with your media. Of course, we all have bias, but we would aspire to be honest. And, you know, when we were wrong, we would correct that behavior. And what you see now, the same with the intelligence agencies. I mean, what you really are looking at with John Durham, and I cannot urge people strongly enough to read those indictments, because Durham has been very, very slow, and he's been very careful, and he's been very deliberate. And for a lot of us, you know, it's been very frustrating living with the lies of the last few years. And it's been, you know, in some ways quite painful. I'm a person who cannot stand injustice. So living with the injustice of having to watch people make up stories about Donald Trump being, you know, somehow Putin being his handler, and the president of the United States being a Russian spy and so on, and them taking like one tiny little thing and making huge headlines out of it and talking nonstop, bunch of, you know, so-called experts speculating on TV and lying and lying and lying. John Brennan, you know, Clapper when he was head of the DNI, not to mention Hillary, Obama, Biden, Jake Sullivan, Ben Rhodes, Susan Rice. I mean, the list is endless. We haven't even gotten to Peter Stroke and Comey and McCabe and that stupid woman, Lisa, you know, who worked for Stroke. I mean, these people, this is an actual conspiracy. This is not a conspiracy theory that you, you know, or a label that you use to silence people. This is what sedition is. It's the very definition of treason and sedition. And they have worked with foreign entities at the same time. It's no accident that, you know, so many of the key players and the key moments in the whole Russia collusion narrative took place in the UK, you know, or Christopher Steele is a British citizen who conveniently cannot be subpoenaed to appear before Congress, can he? You know, and so on and so on. So what you're looking at with Durham, I think the thing that people forget is that there are two sides in this. We are at war in the United States. This is not a war defined by red and blue or Democrat and Republican. This is a war against good and evil, and it really is a war on God. I mean, the evidence is all around you. You don't have to be especially religious to see it. You don't have to be Christian to see it. When I talk to my Muslim friends or Muslim contacts, they see it. Jewish friends see it. Mormon friends see it. I mean, it is very, very obvious to anyone who has their heart open and their mind open. And what we are looking at here is where both sides have a say in what happens. So you can say, why didn't Trump declassify this? And why didn't Trump do that? And why hasn't Durham done this or that? Well, I always try to be conscious of what I don't know as much as what I do know. Because what we can be assured of is that these are people, the wheels of justice are marching straight to their door, and they know it. They can lie about it in the press. They can spin it. They can say whatever they like. But, Lance, they know it, right? And they will do absolutely anything to stop it. And that is the real danger here.
I want to bring in Devin Nunes because now he's running Trump's social media site. But this, he was so frustrated because he had spoke over and over, issuing what directives he could, and they were dismissed by the Democrats. And I'm sorry to say, the Republicans don't seem to have a whole lot of courage in defending Trump and pursuing this narrative. Let's watch this quote from Devin, and then I'd like you to address, what in the world is going on with the Republican Party? What is your assessment of their limp engagement? All right, Devin, let's hear what Devin says.
What they did is they spied on a presidential candidate and then the president of the United States. When they didn't find anything, they made it up. And they framed a sitting president of the United States and tried and got the, you know, the whole Mueller investigation. That's what that's really what happened here. It's really that simple.
So it's overwhelming, the significance of this. What do you think is the response of the Republicans to all of this?
The Republican Party has shown itself for who it really is today. This is part of what Trump has done. You know, one of the reasons he had such a rough ride is that he exposed not only the Democrats, but he exposed the Republicans, the rhinos. He exposed the fact that, as many people have said to me, we really have one party in the United States. It's the Unit Party. It isn't left and right. I mean, if you go back in time, you know, there's an extraordinary series that I would urge every single one of your viewers to watch. It's called Best Kept Secrets, and it's made by Sean Stone, who is Oliver Stone's son. And he reminds all of us in this documentary series that George Bush Sr. talked about having an opportunity to create a new world order. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because anyone who talks about a new world order is, guess what, a conspiracy theorist, right? Pushed to the fringes of alt-right lunacy and so on and so on. And it is not an idea that was introduced by crazy people. It was an idea that was introduced to the American people by the head of the Republican, well, by the president of the United States. And in the Republican Party, you know, I have one question for them to answer. What happened to the money that was raised in 2020 from supporters to investigate fraud in the 2020 election? Because the answer to that question tells you everything about what has happened to the Republican Party and to so many of those leaders. Devin Nunes deserves credit, because he was one of the few who stood up. He was attacked relentlessly. And not only did they give him a hard time, don't you remember that Adam Schiff, when Devin wrote that paper, right, which detailed so many of the lies, Adam Schiff responded with a letter that so-called, if you read the mainstream media, debunked everything Devin Nunes said, right, had been proven to be baseless conspiracy theories and so on and so on, one of their favorite terms. And what happened in the end? Devin Nunes was proven to be right about absolutely every single thing. And remember the lengths that he had to go to just to get access to the information as an elected leader on the Intelligence Committee, you know, in a very senior position. It's outrageous. And what it really comes down to, I was desperately trying to get people to see that this is not about Republican, Democrat. It's not a referendum on Donald Trump's personality. What this was always about was that this idea of, you know, we the people and a government of the people, by the people, you know, through the people, this is an idea that certain people in Washington on both sides thought was a nice, quaint idea that we would use in our speeches. But the people weren't actually supposed to choose their president. They weren't actually supposed to utilize the rights granted to them under the Constitution. Why not? Oh, because we know better, right? We know better. And you know what? They don't know better. They lie. They steal. They cheat. and they're going to be held accountable.
Absolutely. And, you know, Laura, part of this program, and its explosive appeal to the conservative and evangelical audience, is the fact that we believe that Donald Trump really was a populist who ran as a Republican. And as a wrecking ball, he has the capacity to reform the Republican Party while exposing corruption on both the left and the right. The uniparties is the danger. And the globalist unity with their agenda, whether it's going to be centralized food distribution and control or centralized energy or the whole passport vax scenario and the global currency, I think you probably have an aspect of perspective on that is going to be exactly in sympathy with what our audience is expecting is the real story. And I just want to say, people do want to follow you. What is your? How can they keep in touch with you? LauraLogan.com, is that it?
Well, I'm working on that. you know, I'm not very good at the branding and the marketing and all that stuff. I'm a journalist, and that's what I'm good at, right? And so this is uncharted waters for me, and I'm going to be launching my own show soon, but I'm also going to establish the Press Club of America because I realize that the one thing that I bring to the conversation right now is, you know, are the principles of real journalism. They want us to think that there aren't any principles, that they don't matter, that they never existed, and that would make it very easy for them to create the kind of, you know, propaganda and information warfare operations that we've been seeing, but make that the only kind of media that we get where they have absolute control. And that's not going to happen on my watch, not until the last breath in my body. And I know there are other veteran journalists out there, people I've worked with, people I haven't worked with, who are just as eager as I am to build something. So on the one hand, we have this really catastrophic moment and uncharted waters for all of us, which we don't know how this is going to end, right? But then on the other hand, we have an opportunity that very few people ever get in their lifetimes to really stand up and be counted and redefine what media is going to be going into the future. And so I think that my role in that is to create a foundation that preserves those principles, but also is a home for all these new journalists and independent journalists and young journalists coming out, for all the poor kids who've gone through those indoctrination schools they call colleges, you know, and have come out as activists and have no idea what real journalism is. This is going to be a place where we honor and respect journalism for the quality of the work, not the political message. We're going to have an annual awards show that's going to be so much cooler than any of the other stuff that's out there, and, you know, a mini film festival and a comedy tour. But I'm still going to be a journalist. I want other people to run this. I want it to be something that is much bigger than me that I can just walk away from. But I most especially, I want a home for all those independent journalists who don't even have a press pass. It's outrageous that James O'Keefe is still described by the New York Times as being an alt-right activist or far-right activist, that Andy Ngo has to fight to be respected as a journalist. Are you kidding me? These are the kind of people that do more journalism in an hour of any day of the week than 90% of the press corps, okay? So that's going to end. And what we are going to do is provide some kind of foundation and home that really shapes the media according to the principles that were handed down to me. I didn't invent them. I didn't make them up. I was fortunate enough to be a recipient of those principles, and I'm going to protect them and guard them with my life.
Well, Laura, we got a prayer army out there that's going to be standing with you. You're lined up with the right people.
Thank you.
Now, the normal host of this program is Gene Bailey. Gene, what are your thoughts? You're the media guy in the group that most probably relishes this conversation. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm wondering what the name of her cat is.
Well, actually, we call her Lady Meow Meow because she's so tiny, but she has the biggest meow. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Bella, where are you?
No, that's fine. I actually do have a serious question. You talk about the press, and you alluded to something. I want to know from your side of the fence there, with all the people you've worked with, to the people sitting at home that watch this program every week, they're thinking, But is there any mainstream media journalists that really are upset and want to do the right thing? Because all we see are the ones that seem to have drank the Kool-Aid and are buying the mainstream lie.
You're right. That's all you see, because that's all they want you to see, right? And there's Bella again. Lady Meow Meow, stop it. Okay, so the serious answer to your question, though, is of course there are journalists like that. Look, not everybody has the ability or the courage to stand up and take a pounding, right? I mean, honestly, it happened to me with my Benghazi story at 60 Minutes more than a decade ago. And that has been a struggle. I've been attacked, you know, constantly ever since then. And it's exhausting. But they picked a fight with the wrong person, right? Just like they did with Joe Rogan and many others. I'm going to tell you, Gene, that they're there. I don't know all of their names. I don't know all of them. But I can tell you that they are there for sure. That, you know, people get beaten up by the system. But look at the ones who've come out. Bari Weiss came out from the New York Times, and she's phenomenal. There's Kimberly Strassel at the Wall Street Journal, one of the journalists that I respect the most. You know, there's so many journalists at the Federalist, like Molly Hemingway. There's Glenn Greenwald. I mean, Glenn is just amazing. And so there are journalists who are out there. And I know, because I was at 60 Minutes for, what, 16 years? And I know that there are good people there. I know that people don't all drink the Kool-Aid. And if you just give them an opportunity, you might be surprised at what you find. You know, in every communist takeover, and I don't think this is a communist takeover. I think that they use communist tactics because they're very powerful tools of control. But this is a technocracy. It's a global technocracy that we're moving into. And but yet, and look at communist takeovers throughout history, less than 2% of the population was actually ideologically communist and committed at the time of takeover. The rest went along with it out of fear and out of, you know, all the other things that drive people to follow instead of to lead. And so what we have to do is to create opportunities for people. And you know what? If they don't buy into it, I don't care. There's more than enough people who are interested in this.
Gene, you have a follow-up on that?
Yeah, I do. You know, Laura, first off, thank you for standing up. Thank you for being willing to be strong enough to stand up. I know your own agency dropped you because of comments about Fauci. But my final question for you, because we're almost out of time, is I want to understand, and maybe you can help the people at home, people of faith want to know on this program, they're very loyal, they're followers that want to know, what should I do next? What do I do? How do I help the situation? Please speak to that.
Well, you know, one of the most troubling things about where we are now begins in the church, because the priests and the Vatican and many other structures and leaders that are the pillars of the church as we have known it have betrayed God. And that's just a reality. It's a fact. And so I would say if, you know, what I say to people is, look, it's not for me to tell you what to do. I went to a college and the kids asked me, what should we care about? Well, you need to figure that out on your own. My job as a journalist is to give you information that is as accurate and honest as possible about things that I really think are important to know, and to give you the whole truth, right? The real search and the real struggle in what we do is to find the whole truth, not to be misleading because you're just given a sliver of truth. And so I would say, figure out what is most important to you. Figure out what you do best. You know your threshold. You know how much you're willing to risk and what limits you're prepared to take. But understand this. You are sitting at the gates of Auschwitz right now. We are there. We've walked the 9 miles. We've been marched to our deaths. And there is no going back, right? At this point, there is no going back. The choice is whether we go through those gates or fight. And that is the moment where we are in history. I know where I stand, right? It's very, very clear, and it's always been clear. Every day of my life, I have no moral ambiguity when it comes to these things. And I am not in a position to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. It's very obvious that if you do what you do best and you stand up for the truth and you stay faithful to the principles of God, then you will find the answer. Practical terms, you know, the first thing is to be informed. Watch Best Kept Secrets by Oliver Stone's son, Sean Stone. Okay, that's a very important series. Watch the movies that Mickey Willis has made about Plandemic. 1, 2, and 3 is coming out. Mickey Willis at Plandemic, it's PlandemicSeries.com. You know, inform yourself about these things. Ask questions. Do not walk blindly in, you know, rage against the dying of the light, because this is your last opportunity. What you fear losing may already be long gone, and what you're holding on to is just an illusion.
Let me share this with you. We got about 2 minutes and 45 seconds left. Our people are adopting you into our tribe. We're going to be praying for you because you've got a whole new chapter of life ahead of you, and God called you to this moment. Mario Murillo has a quote here. What if God is about to turn the tide of evil in our favor, but we're too timid to do as the occasion demands? Will we offend people by our bold attack? That doesn't matter. Pastor, will you lose members in your church if you obey God? That also doesn't matter. If they left you because you obeyed God, you never had them in the first place. Mario,
that's right.
Let's pray for Laura right now. We got 2 minutes, and if we have a little time at the end, I'm going to squeeze in some final comments from Dave and Hank. Go ahead, Mario, pray.
Lord, I thank you that she has rightly discerned that this is about good versus evil.
Yes.
And with that, Lord, she needs your spirit. She needs a revelation of Christ and the centrality of Christ in the enforcement of good over evil. And Lord, for that, I thank you that a revelation of your power and your personage will overwhelm her. And Lord, I thank you that the devil and the forces of evil, the minions who take human form, will not prevail against her mission. Lord, as she draws nearer to you, she's going to find more and more focus, clarity, and irresistible logic to destroy the strongholds of the evil one. I thank you that she is covered. I thank you that your spirit is speaking to her. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
And amen. Mario, we're going to be with you live next Tuesday at your tent meeting. I think I'll be there. I don't know who else will be there. I know Gene's there. And so we're going to have a bit of a reunion. Hank, we got 40 seconds. Dave and Hank, I'd love to hear from you. But Hank, give me a quick thought right now.
Ground-shaking moments are going to take place as natural signs will intensify of the shaking of the earth's soil. Watch what happens.
David Harris, the 30-second countdown.
Well, I still appreciate Laura. I've been wanting to get an interview with her. I'll reach out to you afterwards, Laura, for that. But I think one of the boldest and most accurate things that you've said is that priests and pastors have failed God. And while you won't say what people should do, I will tell people if they're listening, if you're at a church that's not boldly standing up against these mandates,
then stand up against the mandate.
Where they'll actually
amen and amen and amen. Thank you, David Harris, and we'll see you again on the next Flashpoint.
Join the America Stands team as we kick off election coverage of the midterm elections. Learn all that's happening in the primary and get a